fields of bodies burning as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Hi, this is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news.
And I'm Dan Dugan, the other guy on the other side. WGRN, the Green Renaissance.
This is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news here Friday, January 5th. I'm in the studio with the other guy on the other side.
That's me.
Danny Dugan.
Yep, I'm here for the instant gratification.
You and
Mr. Trump is the one who wants instant gratification because he is like a child, according to the new book by Mr. Wolf. And
uh-huh.
His own staff has said he's like a child, and he doesn't read or listen.
In all this time, I've been accused of claiming he was the middle school or junior high bully.
No, go on. Do tell. He was, wasn't he? And then they sent him to the military school where he growed up real fast to learn how to be a genuine bully as opposed to just a little public school. And so he still loves the military. We know that. So that's where money is going to be going as quickly as they can shovel it in that direction for his friends in the war machine.
Turning the military-industrial complex, the power elite.
Yep, we know. And his friends in the energy business who are in the midst of the climate denial while we have a bomb cyclone on the East Coast.
And his Russian friends who are in the money laundering business which is, there's been new revelations saying, like, look, the FBI has always been concerned with money laundering.
Of course they are.
Trump properties, Trump casinos, mm-hmm. worldwide, and the Red Mafia, who likes to take dirty, ugly, filthy money and clean it up.
Absolutely. And in the meantime, old El Trumpo is in a little tiff with the man he describes as sloppy Steve Bannon.
He always likes
trading barbs.
Crooked Hillary, sloppy Steve.
Right. Oh yes, he's really clever with his monikers, the way he throws out these nicknames.
I like El Trumpo. El's good enough because it invokes Mussolini.
Well, what do you make of this Bannon dust up? Is it for real, or are they just playing at it like big time wrestling, professional wrestling?
No, I think Bannon and Breitbart have always had their own agenda, particularly
right.
Bannon. Bannon, you know, is a racist. He is a far right wing white supremacist nationalist and a firm believer in a distorted view of Christianity that merges with nationalism. He's always wanted an alliance between the U.S. and the Russians to beat back the Islamic people.
Right, and keep those Chinese at bay as well.
Yes. Right?
And of course the Koreans.
The non-European hordes.
Right, there you go, yeah, stop the Hun. But in the meantime, as he pointed out to Kim Jong-il when they had their little Twitter beef this week, Kim Jong said, I've got a button on my desk that can strike the U.S. And of course, our leerless feeder said, no, I've got a bigger button than yours.
Huge! The biggest button in the history of Earth.
There you go.
That's what I like about our president, always into hyperbole.
He is quite
always the biggest.
And a button pusher.
The hugest, humongo, giganto. That's why he's El Trumpo.
Indeed. See, and as the budget crisis looms, he's still going to get his wall done, he thinks. It just continues on and on. It's never a break here. We spent the entire time I've been doing this show with you, we spend most of our time talking about this man. But hey, he can make the news or break it, as it were. All that fake news out there.
You know, the wall is so bizarre because I'm afraid Lowe's on the other side of it, that they sell large ladders.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, and where
and,
are they going to get
the
workers?
I think former
down
president
at the Lowe's lot,
of Mexico,
right?
Fox, Presidente Fox, kind of said, look.
It ain't happening.
this but, one instrument called the ladder could easily defeat
sure.
the yeah. wall.
Absolutely. But again, he wants to hold up the budget if he doesn't get his wall built. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, why would he hold up the budget? I thought the Mexicans were paying for it.
Right. You thought. But
why would you hold it up in the budget? Aren't the Mexicans paying for it?
We know it ain't happening, Bob.
Oh, my God. That would be a massive lie.
But seriously.
He would have gotten elected on a massive lie.
Wow.
I can't believe that.
Really? Yeah. Not in America. Can't happen here. No, not around here in the land of the free and home of the brave.
Well, speaking of another massive lie.
Yes.
Mr. Trump's always believed 5 million illegal immigrants voted. He lost to Hillary by 3 million votes.
Right, but he knew he won.
So he came up with a theory that 5 million illegal immigrants voted against them.
And they're illiterate, too, which makes it even more amazing.
Well, yeah, what's even more amazing is every study shows that immigrants do not show up and vote to any extent. There's never been any large surge of immigrants.
Absolutely.
Primarily because they're illegal.
Right.
They don't want to go to jail. Right. They're here to get jobs.
No, they're
here
risking,
to work.
They're
so what are they going to show up and vote and have fake ID? They stay away from election officials and law enforcement officials.
Right.
They don't show up in mass numbers and illegally vote, only in Trump world.
But they're secretly working for the Democratic Party or, you know, some other leftist organization.
Yeah, and the reality is they're not secretly working for anyone other than themselves. Mexican economy was completely destabilized by NAFTA. And again, at the time, the minimum wage in Mexico was 58 cents an hour. So they could figure out if you can make, $8.30 in the U.S., why not run for the border and go to Taco Bell rather than working for a buck or two an hour in the sweatshops, the maquiladoras, right along the border? I mean, all NAFTA proves is that Mexicans can count, and particularly they understand minimum wage.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Money matters to them, too, and they need to make a living. And so, hey, they're going to go where the work is. But, hey, we've seen that.
And when they don't show up, whole towns, there's been all these series on processing, pig plants and cattle plants that process beef in places like Iowa. They can't get the U.S. population to work in those jobs. They're low paid.
Especially
they're dangerous. They're often debilitating.
And they're hard.
With carpal tunnel and repetitive motion. Yeah, they're difficult. And they're saying as Trump cuts off the immigrant population, is that a lot of the American food system is taking a hit. The prices are going up dramatically.
Yeah, there you go.
And American-made beef and chicken disappears.
Uh-huh. Well, it's a sticky wicket we're in right now, that's for sure. And
immigrants never really took jobs that Americans wanted. Historically, immigrants took jobs that no American would ever do, right? Who sits around and says, it's 100 degrees. I think I'd like to go up on a roof and be a roofer right now.
Right, absolutely. Or this kind of weather we've got, but which again has nothing to do with global
little
warming.
Day labor outside.
Right. And in the meantime, if we can't eat that meat, our producer, your better half, reminds us to go vegan. But at any rate.
But who's going to pick the fruit and vegetables we still need?
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Migrant workers. And in the old days, they used to come in on legal permits do a circuit. Go up to Michigan, pick cherries. Down to Ohio, pick tomatoes. Go to, to the south and pick various fruit and vegetables, melons in Texas. And then head all over to Immokalee in Florida to pick the tomatoes for the winter, the ones we use in the winter. So, we've always been reliant on Mexican labor.
Absolutely.
For our food.
Right. You got it. But, what are you going to do? We're going to put a stop to that, or at least the Trump administration thinks they're going to. So in the meantime, Bob...
Well, J. Kenneth Blackwell's out of a job, Dan.
Yes. So the fraud investigation goes awry, which is really where we started this little thread, talking about the Trump believing he won the popular vote. But that is going to be shelved. So I guess that's good news. It was absurd in the first place that there was going to be an investigation. So,
particularly by one of the notorious election riggers... That is Mr. Blackwell, J. Kenneth Blackwell,
right,
who purged over 300,000 voters just prior to the 2004 right. election to make sure Bush won officially in Ohio.
Right.
Right? He was co-chair of the Bush-Cheney reelection committee in Ohio
right.
while running the elections.
Meeting, they were meeting the morning of that election.
Yes,
right
they flew in unexpectedly on election day.
The rigging.
I went down to the Board of Elections to demand to see Matt Damschroeder, who was the key election official, the executive director at the Franklin County Board of Elections. And I was told that he was in a meeting
with
President Bush.
And Blackwell.
Karl Rove.
Absolutely.
And Mr. Blackwell. Like, hey, how can we rig this election? Why don't we send the election results down to Chattanooga, Tennessee?
Mm.
Why don't we say the supercomputers crashed? So you're taking a guy who we've suspected of a man-in-the-middle attack in the 2004 elections, messing with the computers, and now you've put him in charge of looking for illegal voter fraud.
Right.
Well, we should be looking at voting fraud.
Well,
these private companies and contractors that are often incredibly partisan that were hired by Mr. Blackwell.
And while we're discussing voting, Bob, it turns out, according to the Dispatch, that there have been no votes from the three county commissioners in Franklin County in the past 365 days, right?
A good job of reporting by the Columbus Dispatch.
Yes.
They said, let's see on the three-person Franklin County Commission, how many no votes were cast last year.
Right.
Well, there were more no votes in Joseph Stalin's Politburo than were cast at the truly a totalitarian regime
right.
known as the Franklin County Commissioners.
How about that? No, they're just little kids.
Everything was perfect.
They're just girls that can't say no. But
Kevin Boyce.
Yeah.
Again, Kevin Boyce is there. And I believe isn't it Marilyn Brown and of course John O'Grady.
Yeah. And they're going along with it.
Yeah,
business
and
as usual.
The Republican here. Shockingly says, look, they're steering the contracts. Ohio's a pay-to-play state. They're making sure their friends of the Democratic Party establishment, get the contracts, and then they kick it back in the form of a little donation.
Well, there's money
to
be
the
made
county
there.
Commissions.
Yes, indeed.
Everyone's happy.
Happy.
And you so give me a big unbid contract, I say, you're a damn genius.
Yeah, you're,
here,
you're my
can,
kind
will
of
you
team
take
player.
This, will you take this campaign check?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's
scratch
no dissent.
Scratch a little bit lower, please.
Yeah, dissents are for democracy. Here in Franklin County, we don't believe in dissent.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in local democracy, Shannon Hardin is our new council head. What do you make of that?
Well, again, his mother worked for a few decades. He's 30.
Mm-hmm. With green behind the ears.
He's,
or not green
he's
behind
gay.
The ears.
He graduated in 2016, not 2009. He claims to have been a credit short, and he walked for graduation.
Hmm.
And we'll tell you about it on WGRN, the Green Renaissance, 94.1.
Yeah, yeah.
Shannon Hardin actually got two no votes against him.
Oh, wow.
Mitchell Brown.
There we have a no vote.
Again, Phyllis. No, it was, we'll get back with the person
Phyllis?
Who was Phyllis Thompson.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was nominated council. These council people are so low key.
They do try to stay out of the news,
hell.
Don't they? Well, we should have a list somewhere, but anyway. So in the meantime,
Mitch Brown, the former safety director, actually voted against Shannon Hardin.
Huh, how about that?
Yeah, it was Priscilla Tyson who he nominated.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Priscilla Tyson,
mm-hmm.
Who gets a lot of votes, Priscilla yes. Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
But two people said no to Shannon Harden,
okay.
who, of course, was put on there because his mother worked for a couple decades for Michael Coleman, the former mayor. And he took care of her by making sure her son, Shannon Harden, would be the new council president at the age of 30.
Mm.
And that usually puts you in line to be mayor.
Say that.
Yeah,
yes.
Part of the youth movement. And, mm-hmm. Of course, I suspect Michael Coleman will still be running the show through his young protege.
From his
protege.
Condo downtown.
Yes.
His secret location in a
Indeed.
Condo downtown near you. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And in the meantime, also locally, well, let's discuss the homicide total. It was 143 last I heard, highest since 91, when there was a notorious local live music club that held a little poll. But that's a whole nother story.
Well, there was also a crack epidemic in 1991.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have fentanyl and smack.
Right. And we've got some tough times out there in the streets. We get guns everywhere, but that's our society. But yeah, it's amazing how many young people are being murdered on our streets, and it's a crime. But, you know, and some of them murdered by the police themselves. So, yeah, I just thought I'd drop that one in there. I'm sure a lot of people saw that. Also, in the meantime, the new Free Press is out. And
Indeed.
It is a colossal cannabis issue, folks. Make sure you get out there and pick it up. It's kind of gone to pot, but hey, for a good cause.
And
so.
It's Dan Dugan who started the Just Say Yes movement
yes,
in
yes,
Columbus.
Yes. I still say yes. I'm a girl who can say yes, that's for sure. And in the meantime, though, it reflects back on the new pervasive mood about cannabis. Reflects back on the Trump administration and the Attorney General Sessions, Jeff Sessions, saying he's still going to try to enforce, but good luck, because you can't stop the tide at this point.
Yeah, it looks like he's going to go after the more liberal states.
Aha. Uh-huh.
The blue states,
the
Democratic states,
right.
that have
that.
Legalized.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't have enough resources to go after the more moderate states like Ohio,
right,
who have a state passed law that limits medical marijuana. But this year in Ohio, and there's an interview in the Free Press,
yeah.
Ian James is back, and this Look time out. We're on his side.
Yeah,
it's
indeed.
Not the 10 growers, it's we can all grow, little
well,
home
and
grow.
That's how it should be, at least.
It's
like
going to be treated like alcohol, Mr. Dugan.
Well, that would be the right thing, so that at least it would be as good a setup as local brewers being able to get.
But you
into
may
it.
Know this isn't growing weed hard. It doesn't grow like a weed, for example.
It must be cultivated, Bob, from what I understand.
You bury the seeds and wait for the rain. Okay.
Yeah, and a little bit more goes into it. But in the meantime.
Well, only if you want the really good stuff.
Mm-hmm. But what does it look like, the chances of getting on the ballot this year to legalize
I think,
it?
Hey, if Ian James is
and
involved,
put in the hands
it
of the
will
people.
Be on. Ian James, you know, is the only oppositional force
mm-hmm.
on these statewide ballot initiatives. He's been able to get the major oppositional ballot initiatives in Ohio to the voters. So I'm thinking we get to vote this year on legalizing marijuana and treating it like alcohol, which we used to do up to 1937 in honor of Jefferson, in honor of our framers and our founding fathers who were cannabis growers.
Right, precisely. I've heard it said that the Constitution, or was it the Declaration? I think the Constitution was written on hemp paper, right?
It sure was, because
there you go.
In fact, there's a when we began to pulp trees, again, I studied archival methods at Wayne State University for
uh-huh.
my PhD. When we began to chop down trees to make paper,
right,
it ended what was called the era.
Hemp got in the way.
The era of good paper.
Right.
That, in fact, Historically, the best paper was made from linen and from hemp.
Right.
And again, cannabis, canvas, sails, yeah, everything, rope. When I was a kid, I don't know whether you did, but when I was growing up in elementary, we used to climb the hemp rope in gym.
Oh, that was a hemp rope.
It was hemp rope.
No wonder little Tommy was always so slow getting up and down that thing.
So yeah, the
I
hemp rope.
Him.
And in fact, when the
Stoner
police
Tommy.
Came into my junior high class, what Skippy. They did is they lit the hemp rope on fire.
Uh-huh.
And said, "This is what marijuana
now climb it.
Smells like." And then I remember a guy got thrown out of class for saying, "Just the cheap stuff."
yes, indeed. All right. In the meantime, it seems that you are quite positive, positively endorsing Mr. Dennis Kucinich in his...
I'm not endorsing him. I'm saying if I was a Democrat,
not endorsing.
I'm co-chair of the Green.
Right.
But
okay.
If I was a Democrat...
Sorry, I didn't mean endorsing.
He's the best.
Right.
You know,
the Democratic
right.
candidates, yes. Right.
You know, Bernie Sanders doesn't live in the state, and he's a U.S. senator, so
right.
yeah, now we don't endorse on none.
But what came to mind is that you had indicated his policies were better than Bernie's.
I think if you look at his entire legacy on the environmental issues and on the peace issue, in particular foreign policy, on nuclear disarmament, the thing I really like is he wrote articles of impeachment against
Cheney
and Bush in that order.
He
actually was smart enough to impeach Cheney first, recognizing where the real power lied in the Bush administration.
Right. So you're indicating that if folks are going to vote Democratic in the
I think the Democratic
primary,
yeah,
that's
he,
the man.
Kucinich hasn't announced he's not a candidate. I'm just saying is that there's still time, objectively.
You're suggesting
if
yes,
within the next you know,
sorry,
a few
yes.
days, if he announced, it's a crowded field.
Right.
You know,
well, it sure is.
The
Pardew,
party regulars and the liberals like Rich Cordray,
mm-hmm.
who I, you know, very bright guy, who, you know, I've always liked. I found no problem with Richard Cordray, but he's pretty much a mainstream, sort of moderate, the liberal Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
There's, Chief Justice O'Neill. William O'Neill.
Who's pro-pot.
Who's very much pro-pot. And if he stays in, I think he'll take some of the regular votes away from Cordray. But if you really wanted somebody historically progressive, a people's candidate,
progressive.
A progressive populist,
right.
you want Kucinich, right?
There you go.
He saved the electrical grid back in the late 70s when he was elected the governor. When he was governor of of Cleveland in 77 to 79,
the public
he
utilities
saved the
government.
Public utility grid,
right? Indeed,
for Cleveland.
Right.
So he's got a long track record,
he's
an anti-fracking guy.
Absolutely, which is important to a lot of our listeners and both of us, I'm sure. So yeah, there we go. Some of the more local issues coming out. Anything else from the Free Press that you can think of that you'd like to point out to folks?
No, but the New York Times has pointed out that the main reason Trump is president is because of Florida. In the state of Florida, there are now 6 million Americans who can't ever vote in the state in which they live.
Right.
These states generally old Confederate slave states.
Right.
Because even when, if you committed a felony in that state, a state felony,
right,
not a federal felony, you don't get your voting rights back in Florida you're out of prison.
Right.
So there's now 1.5 million people in Florida, overwhelmingly male, disproportionately people of color, who can never vote unless they leave that state, thus making Florida a swing state. When in reality, it would be an overwhelmingly Democratic state that would have voted against Trump.
Well, the Republican Party continues to suppress votes everywhere they can, especially
but
where they believe it to go blue.
But this is the absolutely most blatant, because you lose your voting right forever. In about 36 states, you serve your time. They have what's called the in-out rule. You're in prison, you can't vote, except in Maine. You're out of prison, you can vote. And in Ohio, even if you're in a halfway house, you're on probation or in a halfway house, you may vote.
You may vote,
In fact, we encouraged it, right? Yeah. It's a way to reintegrate people back into society. In Florida, if you committed a felony in Florida, you may never vote again in the state of Florida.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's election manipulation. It's
sure
undemocratic.
It sure it is. Right.
And it's the only reason Trump is president.
Well, yeah, that and this little thing called the Electoral College, which and, doesn't
and,
seem
President to, Fox, this, former President Fox of Mexico, says he's willing to concede Trump is the president of the Electoral College, a racist little institute left over that allowed slave owners to downplay voting their slaves. So I got 1,000 slaves, I get 600 votes, so I get to cast 601 votes.
Right.
They say that doesn't matter because you're really just voting for electors.
Yes.
So it's a way to mask the racist three-fifths clause in the U.S. Constitution.
Right. And these electors were also supposed to carefully examine whether or not the person who was chosen by the general populace, if they're qualified to take the office.
And it was too bad. And qualified means, in fact, sane.
Yeah.
I mean, granted,
which,
how long would it take to figure out that Trump is mentally unbalanced?
Well, which brings up a group that's looking at that possibility that the man's not right in the head because of Propecia, which is used for his baldness, which, of course, he won't admit that he
too
has.
Too much Propecia.
Right, and this can cause mental deficiencies. Now, I don't know how smart he was to start with, but clearly he's lost a bit. And as they say, he can't even listen at this point in time. So they're in addition to the Russian investigation.
But he has a huge butt.
Looking to see if he's.
But he's got a huge butt. You've got to admit that.
Yes, indeed.
See the size of that man's butt.
He's got the biggest button in the whole universe, as a matter of fact.
I was hoping that he would
challenge
Kim Jong-un to an old
game
of button.
Who's
got
the biggest button?
Biggest button.
That's right, the biggest button. Yes, there you go. So we're hoping everyone can stay warm and enjoy their new year. But again, anything else you care to add, Bob, that you might have culled from the press or from the free press or other lies in this media, right? The fake news.
Well, let me encourage people to go out and read the free press issue, particularly on the issues of marijuana. It's got a very nice timeline, and I would like to take some small credit with my former student, Kenny Swiker.
Oh, Kenny.
Who, because the first initiative in the history of the state, I got to edit and assist with it. But it really started out as a classroom project at Columbus State. Kenny Swiker was one of those students, and you had to do a political project, come up with a initiative or an amendment to the Ohio Constitution.
Right.
He came up with this detailed initiative that would have legalized medical marijuana and, of course, hemp. And this was back in 1997-98.
Right.
And then he bought a school bus, thought he was part of the Merry Pranksters, went around the state of Ohio with these neo-hippies trying to get signatures. But the interesting thing, in all these small towns in Ohio, the local sheriffs and county sheriffs were, like, posing with him. They liked the hippies. Well, it's time to wrap up Mr. Dugan.
Yep.
Why don't you tell people this is the other side of
this
the news?
This is the other side of the news. I'm the other guy on the other side, part
and,
of the Green Renaissance.
Where can they listen?
I think it's WGRN 94.1, Bob, or online.
All right. Peace out, my brothers and sisters.
Yes, indeed.
Ringing in the new year. Thanks for listening to The Other Side of the News. This is Bob Fitrakis.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN 94.1, LPFM, The Green Renaissance.